as each part does its work. We are building an expansion project outside, and it's a building so that we can keep building the community of Christ. And the point isn't building a building, but it is for the equipping space that's needed for the body to keep growing as we make followers who make followers of Jesus. So last week we learned that we are all bodybuilders. If you were here, we all are at work building the body of Christ. It's what Paul called the church. He said, you are the body of Christ. And so as the body of Christ, we are equipped and commissioned to grow. And as we individually grow spiritually, the church grows up. So although we are never building a building that's going to be big enough to house all the things that God would have us do in work and ministry together, we do have all we need right now to build the body of Christ and be part of it. So the point today is growing up is a community experience. Growing up is an experience that we have together. So Cooper was baptized this morning with this whole community around him, his sponsors, his family, making commitments, not just to Cooper, but to one another, that we would all be part of seeing him grow in Christ. So it's the work of all of us. And when we are committed and engaged in this idea of bodybuilding, we begin to realize that this isn't just something we do each Sunday, but it is a lifelong journey, and it is beyond ourselves. We're building a lasting community that goes from generation to generation and a community that lives into eternity. But it's not just about that, because it has impact right now. Dr. Tyler Vanderweel at Harvard University, he spent a decade researching how regular church attendance impacts healthcare workers. And he summarized his conclusions saying this: medical workers who said they attended religious services frequently, mostly in Christian churches, were 29% less likely to become depressed, 50% less likely to divorce, 5 times less likely to commit suicide than those who never attended. And in perhaps the most striking finding of all, healthcare professionals who attended services weekly were 33% less likely to die during a 16-year follow-up period with more than those who never attended. So these findings, you know, just in the healthcare field, they're not unique. Many other studies have found that religious service attendance is associated with greater longevity, less depression, less suicide, less smoking, less substance abuse, better cancer and cardiovascular disease survival, less divorce, greater social support, greater meaning in life, greater satisfaction, more volunteering, greater civic engagement. These findings are extensive and growing. So the point is, there's no question that being part of a religious community has a positive impact. But what about being part of the local church? What about being part here? The Apostle Paul describes this experience like nothing else in the world. He writes in his letter to Ephesians, chapter 4, "And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know his love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God." Think about that. Huge, right? All the fullness of God. This idea of growing in the body of Christ is so much bigger than we can even imagine. In a sense, Paul's saying it's cosmic. It is, he says, being filled with the full measure of God. It's hard to imagine. But then he brings it back to the outcome. He says, you'll grow up spiritually. You'll be mature. So when you are young, chances are, or if you are, you want to grow up, right? You want to grow up. You want to do more. You want to be more. You want to do all the things that you can't do yet. You may not call it mature, right? Being mature, but you wanted to grow up. You know, that doesn't really change spiritually as we age. We all want to grow up and become mature to be more, to do more. As a follower of Jesus, we begin to taste how long and deep and wide is the love of Christ, and then we begin to desire that more and more. There's this deep longing within us to be full of God, as the Apostle Paul talks about. But sometimes we just can't quite get there. It doesn't feel like we're making it. Even if we don't like the church all that much, we still want to be full of God. So we want to grow, and spiritual growth is what this series is pointing to as we close up today. And today we find out that there is only one way to grow. One way to grow. Growing up is a community experience. Growing up is done together. So I'm going to walk through a few pointers that the Apostle Paul points out in Ephesians chapter 4. Also, pastor and author Tony Evans, he brings up some of these important insights in his book Kingdom Living. So I want to give credit where credit is due. But here's the point, you can't grow up spiritually all on your own. Growing up is a community process. And this is such an important point. You get it, right? You're here. Last month, 10 junior high students went to the most ultimate urban, unbelievable camping experience, Moose. It was a three-day event full of spiritual development with 400 students and leaders. And it was definitely a community experience. But that's not all it took, just those 400. There was also 180 local church volunteers and conference volunteers that helped to put on that that event. And it was a big community experience. And I'm all for Moose, like Lake Beauty Bible Camp. It's one of those experiences that are markers in this journey of faith and growing in our faith. But we know youth ministry and Moose require others. So we don't just grow in receiving. Those who participated in Moose are maturing and growing as well, and participating in volunteering. So this weekend, some of those students showed up to help a neighbor in need on short notice, Saturday morning, early, even after working, or even after a sports event late Friday night. So growing up is not just a community process, but it's a reciprocal process. We both receive and we participate, we serve, and as we do, we grow together. See, that's God's design. In Genesis 2:18, the Lord said, "It is not good for the man to be alone." So the man here is Adam. It's not good for him, humanity, to be alone. God made one and said, "We need more." So he made Eve. And the point of that is that we are made to be in community. We are made to be together and to grow up together. Jesus sent the Holy Spirit then to empower the followers to be his community on earth. That is here, the church. And as we are that, the ultimate fulfillment of this principle in Genesis is that we are not alone, but together in the body of Christ. So the church is created for you, and you are made for the church. I don't know if that's a new one for you, especially if church kind of feels awkward. It shouldn't, because you are the body of Christ. You are the church. And when the apostle describes this goal of growing up and becoming mature, he says, being filled to the full measure of the fullness of God, it is this community experience. So we grow together. That's our first insight. The next one is that growing up anticipates a maturing community. So are you guys looking forward to this growing up and maturing community happening? This is awesome. So the church gets more and more like Jesus as it matures. There's a story of a mother who walks in on his six-year-old son and finds him sobbing. She says, "What's the matter, son?" He says, "I've just figured out how to tie my shoes." "Well, honey, that's wonderful. You're growing up, so why are you crying?" He says, "Because now I'm going to have to do it every day for the rest of my life." It's true, right? That's part of growing up, maturing. And we also need to grow up spiritually as well. Sometimes that seems like hard work. It seems like something that we're going to have to just continue to add to it. And the truth is, it is. But that's growing up. That's what it's called to be the church. You know, we need the church in order to do that. But equally important, and I think today in this day and age, the church needs you to grow up as well. The church needs you in order that we all may grow. Remember, you're made for it. So who likes to go to a movie theater? Raise your hand. If you're online, go ahead and write in the comments. You like to go, you like not to go, why or why not? So we like to go to the movie theater. Why do you like to go? Shout out some responses. Why do you like to go to the movie theater? Popcorn. Junior Mints, okay. Reclining chairs, all right. Any other reason you like to go to the movies? What was that last one? A good movie, yeah. Well, you know, that's kind of maybe at the end. So it's interesting, isn't it, that we like to go to the movies for things beyond the actual movie itself, you know, for the experience. You know, there were those that predicted that the movie theaters would actually go out of business as DVDs came in, as streaming came online. They just predicted that people would no longer go. You know, you'd have everything you wanted right at home. You could watch it on your own big screen TV, make your own popcorn in the microwave. But that hasn't been the case, right? As a matter of fact, pre-pandemic, movie theaters continued to grow and advance, and more people were seeing movies. Why is that? Why would that be? You know, it's because is it because of the experience when we go to the theater? It's because of the experience of being together in this event that otherwise there's no other way to have it. Take a drink. All right. We grow together. All right. So as we experience this life together, you know, as you're in the movie theater, a big scene comes on and everybody gasps at the same time. You know, you just feel that whole room take off. If you're laughing, it's kind of contagious and the whole room starts laughing. It's this experience that we have together, and it's no different here in the church, except that we are experiencing something more together besides a group dynamic. We are experiencing the Holy Spirit in our midst. As each one of us are believers in Jesus, we are filled with the Holy Spirit. And as we come together, the Spirit in each of us combines as this community together. And we experience something greater than we ever could alone. So God is here through the Holy Spirit in you, right? In you, in you, in you. God is here in the Holy Spirit together. The church is actually the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit. The Apostle Paul, he writes, "And in him you too," that's you, "are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit." Ephesians 2:22. So when we show up together, the Holy Spirit is abiding in us and showing up in a powerful way. And we experience uniquely the presence of God. And when we do that, we grow. When we are in the presence of the Holy Spirit, we grow. So the image of being built up together as a dwelling where God lives is kind of what's happening outside this building project. You know, each of these pieces, the rafters, the walls, they're all coming together to build this house. And we are, in that same sense, part of the church. Each one of us are being built into the body of Christ where the Spirit dwells. So where the Spirit is, God is present. And where the Spirit is and God is present, we grow. So when we show up, we grow. So we keep building, we keep growing as we remain attached. I keep using a community garden reference. This year, Cheryl and I are working in a community garden, or we're actually growing things. And we had a bunch of extra space, so we planted watermelons. Problem is, I don't know much about raising watermelons, so I keep checking on them, I keep looking at them, they look kind of tasty on the outside, so I keep rolling them around, knock on them a few times, trying to figure out if they're ripe or not, and in the process, some of them actually get detached from the vine. Problem is, once they're detached from the vine, it's either ripe or it's not, right? And so I take it home, I chop it up, I look at it, it's not ripe. You ever tried to eat a non-ripe watermelon? Yuck, right? It tastes terrible. So when it's not mature, it's really not that good. So you are like a watermelon. You can't grow and mature apart from the church. So we have to remain connected, right? Are you connected? You know, unlike watermelons, I can't have somebody go around and knock on your head to see if you're mature or not. That doesn't work. So The apostle in Hebrews, he says there's a better way. He says in Hebrews 10, 24 and 25, he says, "Let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together here." That's what we're doing, online joining, "as some of you are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another all the more as you see the day approaching." So the day that he's talking about is Christ's return. As we await that day, we encourage one another. And the goal is simple, to grow more and more like Jesus. And we're part of what the Holy Spirit is doing in our midst together as we hear God's word, as we worship together, as we share in the sacraments as we did today. As we are being better equipped, we'll be able to weather the issues and things going on in the world around us. The Apostle Paul, he kind of describes what happens in Ephesians 4. He says, "Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching, by the cunning and craftiness of people and their deceitful scheming." In his book, Kingdom Living, Tony Evans, he writes, "It doesn't take much to distract children or get them upset. They're easily fooled and misled. That's how a lot of Christians are living. Every little struggle wipes them out." But God wants us to grow past all that. He wants us to grow into maturity. So, to be honest, friends, there's a lot of confusing stuff out in the world today. It really is. And it's not incidental. It's actually intentionally deliberate to mislead us and deceive us from God's word. Much of what we hear is not God's word. The theologian Barclay, he wrote in a passage, he said, saying, the slick cleverness of men craftily calculated to lead us astray. So the intention is of our opposition to lead us astray. We all need to grow up and become mature. And that requires growing up in community. It requires maturing. And it requires the need for truth and love. Growing up requires truthful and loving community. Paul writes, instead of getting tossed around and confused, he said, "Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is, Christ." So this antidote to being tossed around by false teaching is truth. Jesus taught the truth. He said, "I am the truth, the way, the truth, and the life." The scripture reveals the truth. You know, the words are words of integrity. Many don't necessarily agree with what the Bible teaches, yet it still stands on the word of God, the teachings of Jesus. As his followers, it is the truth that we seek to live by. So that means we don't just say it, right? We do it. We do truth. We deal with others truthfully. We do the word. We're maturing when we are concerned with the truth of the word. And we cannot disconnect Jesus from the gospel of truth. The Apostle John, he says of Jesus, he said, "He is the word." He said, "In the beginning was the word. The word was with God, and the word was God. He was with God in the beginning." You know, the work of the Holy Spirit is to confirm God's word in our hearts. But the word doesn't operate apart from something else. It is the truth and love. Say truth and love. It is the truth and love. Has anyone ever said to you, "The truth hurts, doesn't it?" It's a tough one. The truth convicts, the truth enlightens, the truth sets us free, but the truth isn't designed to hurt us, it's designed to help us. The truth leads us to God's love. You know, Paul, he made sure to link these two in the passage. He said, saying, "Speak the truth in love." That's what makes us grow together, both truth and love. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow. So many of you have heard the truth without love, and that does hurt. In fact, some of you have probably been deeply harmed by that. That's not God's intention. The Bible says God is love, and the truth is that when you put your trust in the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross, you are forgiven. You are a child of God, as we said of Cooper today, a beloved child of God. But let me ask you this, does God love you before that? Yes. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. God loves people. God loves his people and desires that all would come to the saving knowledge of his son, Jesus Christ. So his love is shared so that you and I will know the truth and trust the truth and receive the truth of his life, death, and resurrection. And the truth is, you are loved. So truth alone won't make us grow, but truth and love will. Some say it's easy to share the truth with someone you'll never see again. That could be possible. Have you ever wanted to speak the truth to a crazy driver in front of you when you're driving down the road and trying to pass? You know, truth must be accompanied with love. In our communities around Wheaton, I think this is a real and unique experience in the rural environment. You know, we have to speak the truth in love because we're always around each other, right? If you go to the store, you meet the same person you might see at the church or on the street or in the shop or out in the neighborhood, on the field. The apostle says that truth only matures us when it is spoken in loving concern for all. You know, I was at the farmer's market the other day, and someone came up to me and was talking to me, and he said, "I know you. How do I know you?" And I thought, I hope I didn't cut you off the other day and give you one of these. You know, how do I know you? And he said, "Oh, I know. I saw you preach a sermon at a funeral." It's like, yep, that's true. So speaking the truth in love is a practical experience, right? It's something that we don't only just say, but we have to demonstrate as well. So we'll grow to become in every respect a mature body of him who is head, that is Christ, speaking the truth in love. So growing up is a community experience. It requires a growing community. It requires speaking the truth in love, and it requires an engaged community. In verse 16 of Ephesians 4, from him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. The body receives support that it needs when nobody is on the sidelines. You know, it's fall sports season, right? So if you go to a football game as a non-participant, you get to stand on the sidelines behind the fence and watch. That's great. And if you're going to volleyball or in the gym, you get to go up on the bleachers and sit and watch the game. That's great. That's really important for our high school sports to have all that support on the sidelines, but not in the church. In the church, we are all players. Everybody plays. Turn to somebody beside you and tell them, everybody plays. Online, everybody plays. So we're all like kind of lights in the ceiling. When the lights are on and shining, everyone's in the light. But when the lights go out, when a few lights go out, someone's in the darkness, right? We need the whole church to be shining. We need all the light to shine, and that includes you. When everyone is shining, then Christ's light shines everywhere. And they come back on. Thank you, Todd. Let's give him a round of applause. I just want to let all of you know that are sitting here, for our tech people and those who are working behind the scenes, it's not easy with me up here. So thank you on behalf of the church. So you are the body of Christ, and I need you to grow. The church needs you to grow and mature, and to become all that God has called you to be, to shine your light in every place possible. So you are made for the church, and the church is made for you. So how will you commit to building and being part of this community together? Here's one way. This fall, I encourage you to sign up for a life group. I know you've already heard this, But sign up for a community experience together in a small group where we will begin to study the Word together and get to know the Word better. And we will be able to be in community together to grow and be part of this body of Christ. And then we'll begin to serve together and encourage one another and spur one another on to be all God has called us to be. And if you want to do that, you can go to bethcov.org. Again, sign up for a life group. Even if you're just interested, go ahead and put your name down. We'll get you some more information. There's nothing quite as exciting as building, right? As things are going up outside, people are driving by and looking and say, "Oh, this is awesome. It's so great to see what's happening out there." But what's more exciting is seeing the body of Christ built up, is seeing each one of us grow and mature as Christ works in us. And to do that, we need to be in a community that wants to help you mature. Be in a community that is both truthful and loving, and one that is actively engaged in building the body of Christ, your community, the church. Are you ready? Set? Grow. Let's pray. Father, thank you for our time together. Thank you, Lord, that you have called us to be part of the body of Christ and to grow. And Lord, may this be an invitation to all of us, wherever we are, however we feel we are mature or immature, Lord, to put our trust and faith in you, to rely on your Holy Spirit, to come together as the community of Christ, and to grow by your power, in your name, we pray. Amen.